Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, everybody. This is Stars Cast, also known as Natalie on the show and on the site, my own, starspsychics.com. I've got with me tonight Stars Maya, Stars Cosmic Denise, and we are going to be discussing myth or fiction. The paranormal phenomena, that's a handle, isn't it, and a half? So it'll be ghosts and hauntings and strange experiences and EVPs. So without saying anything else, I'm going to turn it over to Stars Maya. Are you there, Stars Maya?
I am. I'm here, and I'm excited about the show. Okay, so, well, welcome, everyone, and we want to welcome everyone that's been following and listening to the show. And, of course, to all the new listeners, we know that you're really going to enjoy it. I want to read off the phone number and let you know that we really encourage you to call in and share a personal experience that you've had or your ideas, your philosophy, your take on the subject of the paranormal. If you're a believer, we'd like to hear from you. If you're a non-believer or skeptic, we'd love to hear from you just as well. And the phone number is 347-838-9736. So if you are a guest and listening and you'd like to join in the discussion, we've had some guests, listeners join in on prior shows, and we really, really encourage that. So with that being said, we welcome everyone, and we want to take notice of the chat room. It's open and available, and we work hand in hand as a team, and if you visit the chat room, they are hosting there. You can have a mini reading or talk with an expert, and so we thank the experts that work the chat room. We all kind of work together. So I'm going to start things out. The paranormal encompasses a very large and broad field, and I have had, which I think is probably, I'm probably okay in saying that in general, most of us in this profession have had some type of psychic phenomena, or I should say, let me rephrase that, paranormal phenomena happen in some way, shape, or form. I've had very strong personal experiences. I had some when I was young, so I have that. I've also belonged to a couple of paranormal investigation teams, and so I've been able to see firsthand how they operate and how they conduct an investigation. And we've come very far, really, in this subject, because there was a time when it really was just speculation. I still am a believer in the fact that if you experience it or I experience it, that makes it real. However, with all the modern equipment that is designed specifically for paranormal investigation, we have just come so far. There's so many different types of technology available, and I've had the privilege of actually seeing that. An example would be using a digital camera or an EVP, which is a voice phenomenon. You may not hear it at the time you're recording it, but when you listen back, you can often hear voices, and there's a wide variety of where the voices come from. And of course, there's always, you know, our spiritual beliefs. Some of us have a different belief about what it means, where they come from, what it is. I believe that it's a little bit multidimensional. I believe that there's positive and there's negative, and then there's also neutral. So I feel that there's a very wide range of paranormal experiences, and they come from different intentions. So with that, I'd like to go ahead and go to Denise, who has joined us this evening, and see what her thoughts are on this subject.
Thank you, Maya. And this is Denise speaking.
I agree that there is definitely a lot of layers when it comes to the paranormal world, especially when we're talking about spirits and ghosts. Ghosts in particular don't exactly know that they are dead. I feel they know in a certain amount that they're kind of in another world. You know, it's almost like kind of just being very airy-fairy in the head and feeling like you're kind of out of your body. But for the most part, they don't really, they haven't crossed over into the light. Spirits, however, have crossed over into the light. Those are the ones that come in during your mediumship sessions and speak with you, your loved ones, your pets that have passed over in heaven that are visiting and communicating with you. But ghosts in particular usually are very grounded and still kind of, quote-unquote, earthbound, even though they are in the fourth dimension. Understanding that can really help you distinguish between what you're dealing with in terms of apparitions and things of that nature, whether it's your grandmother just visiting or there might be actually a spirit in the home. I've found that a lot of spirits are very much connected to, or say ghosts in particular, are connected to the land or the property of a place more so than, say, a closet. You know, when you tune into a home, it's usually because there might have been maybe a fire, for instance, in one case that I dealt with that was very traumatic and the person didn't quite, you know, cross over, didn't quite go to the light. So they were kind of always stuck on that land and on that property as houses were built and rebuilt and things of that nature. And there's obviously a duality between, you know, good and bad and, you know, negative, positive, however you want to look at it when it comes to spirits as well. You're going to have, you know, ghosts running around in very negative places like jails and, you know, places that have kind of a negative energy to them. Maybe a very traumatic murder took place, something of that nature. And then you're going to have your ghosts that are children, for instance, that were playing in a hospital where they died of tuberculosis, you know. So if you've seen any of the ghost shows, you see that are there are very a lot of active activities in places that were very crowded or traumatic or a lot of deaths occurred, prisons, hospitals, things of that nature. So it's a very interesting world to look into, and ghosts in particular are very fascinating because they do provide a lot of proof for a lot of ghost hunters that go out into the field and investigate a lot of these areas that are out and about. I remember a time when I went to the Myrtles Plantation, which is one of the most haunted places in America and down in the deep south, and I went there at night, no reservations, nothing, you know, just my family and I, family of little ghost hunters. We decided to just roll up on the driveway and step out and just check it out for ourselves, and I could not go up the front steps. It was just one of those things when you go into an environment where there has been trauma and death and murders and things of that nature, you usually will feel it quite. You might not see anything, but you will feel things quite instantly. And in that, if you go onto the property, there's this instant energy of you feeling like you're being watched. Now, of course, it was at night. You've got the mossy trees and everything kind of creeps the energy that might play with your mind a little bit. But if you're very intuitive, then you naturally kind of go in with a very optimistic mindset to feel it out, see what you see, and take it all in, you will definitely start to pick up goosebumps and chills and cold drafts that come about, and definitely will feel like you can't go to a certain point because there's just an energy that's almost blocking you from doing that. And that's why a lot of people sometimes just turn right back around. So it's a very interesting location if you ever choose to go down there, but I find ghosts very fascinating. And you know, as a medium, dealing with the spirit world is very lighted and energetic and happy-go-lucky. But ghosts, on the other hand, can be an extreme of sorts between the positive and the negative. Wouldn't you say, Maya?
Well, right. I feel that there's a large variance in spirit and spiritual energies and their intention and how they are brought into the physical world and what, you know, what they do, their activity level. I think it's very broad. I think with some of the places that you mentioned, yes, they're very well known. Any type of place that housed a lot of people, you know, everything is energy. So if you look at places where there was a lot of energy, especially if it was negative in the sense of a jail would be a lot of negative energy, people that had committed crimes, people that are like a caged animal, even perhaps if the person they allegedly committed a crime, even someone that's innocent, just the fact that they're being locked up and controlled. And then, as you mentioned, some of the TB asylums where this was years ago before we understood the disease and were able to basically cure it. Many, many children and adults died in those asylums, and I think they were overcrowded. And so there's a lot of energy of not necessarily intentional neglect, but anytime you have a large home where children are ill and some of the, I just shake my head because some of the medical beliefs that were held, say, 50 or 100 years ago, I mean, are so outdated now. So yes, those are hotbeds. We can look at a lot of different things too. I believe that, for example, there's a lot of reality shows. I think I counted them and there's about 10, and I actually enjoy watching them. But there's different levels too. There's residual type, which sometimes that's just a person. Perhaps you move into a home and someone lived there most of their lives. They didn't necessarily pass away in that home, feel most comfortable. And you might hear walking or you might see the impression of someone sitting in a chair. And the feeling is not a threatening feeling. There's no real, it's a non-intelligent type of haunting, if you will, because they're not really trying to interact with us as humans. They're just more or less, they're kind of repeating a pattern. So if their pattern was they walked down the hall, and they sat in their chair every night, that to me is residual. Then you have furnishings. A lot of times people will have no activity, and I'm talking about just everyday people. And while I'm mentioning that, in case you're just tuning in, if you'd like to join our discussion, we'd love to hear your story, or we'd love to hear if you're a skeptic on some of this. The number to call in is 347-838-9736. So we can also a lot of times energy can attach to a particular piece of furniture. Generally, it would be an antique that happens a little bit more often, but is not necessarily true. So let's say that it's a brush or a hair barrette, you know, one of the fancy hair combs, I should call it, and it was a special personal item that belonged to a female, and she passed on, and let's say that she passed it down, it was handed down, but at some point it was considered ugly or out of date, and so it was sold at a garage sale, for example, and someone sees it and they purchase it, they bring it into their home, and shortly thereafter, they start noticing footsteps, they hear strange noises. One thing when we are investigating the paranormal, you need to go in with an open mind, but obviously you need to rule out anything that can be causing it, such as there can be surges in electricity, and whenever there's an electrical surge, you can often get the feeling of something being wrong or someone watching you, and it actually just has to do with wires being crossed, literally. So I think there is a lot of portals. Oftentimes, too, families that are going through crisis situations, and maybe it's the economy, someone's lost their job, or they're just battling in their relationship, that energy is very ripe for spiritual energy to enter. We do have our loved ones. That's usually a positive experience where they come and we feel their presence. We may smell their perfume. And you mentioned, you know, children. A lot of times children are human children on the earth attract spiritual children. And I know there's a strong belief out there that spirits, when there is some type of haunting or there's ghostly activity, meaning you see a shape or a form, so you're able to identify, well, it's a female because she's wearing a dress, or it's male because he was in a suit, or it's a child because of their size. There's a lot of spiritual belief out there that, and just regular people maybe believe that the soul or the spirit of the person has lost their way. I, for the most part, disagree with that. I believe that there can be something similar when it comes to negative energy, but when it's positive energy, and by positive I mean that a spirit is trying to communicate to perhaps give a message, perhaps there was some mystery surrounding their death, or they were lonely, or they are lonely. I believe that spirits can cross back and forth, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they're lost or they don't know their way to the other side, to heaven, whatever your beliefs are. So I was going to ask you about that, Denise, where you stand, if you feel that all these are just lost souls and like the old movie, send, go to the light, go to the light.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting because I remember some years back I was with a group and their whole purpose was to meet to pretty much guide souls over. And it, like I mentioned, like, and it's not one of those things where the ghosts don't know that they're dead. You know, it's one of those situations like you were speaking of, they might just be very lonely or attached to that environment. And sometimes even monks that are kind of rolling around in the ghostly spirit realm, it's not that they don't know that they've passed on. They're just very much in this kind of sometimes very zen state that they kind of don't really see it as two separate worlds, so to speak. But I do believe that everybody has the opportunity to cross over. Everybody has the opportunity to go to the light. And sometimes I think it really is a matter of choice and also a matter of just going through portal, you know, just having that choice to kind of revisit, so to speak, because there might be an attachment. So it's something I don't really look at too often, but it's definitely one of those things where we shouldn't just call it black and white when it comes to ghosts don't know they're dead, they're walking around absent-minded, and, you know, they never see the light ever in their life. I don't feel like it's one of those situations at all. And I wanted to bring up a point again about the electricity. It's very much connected in terms of how spirits like to communicate, because energy, again, as you mentioned, electricity has a lot of energy, and they will utilize that to, you know, flicker lights, maybe activate your computer, you know, do something, maybe mess with your television a little bit. They'll use electricity, and even investigations will drain batteries and cameras, things of that nature, to manifest. It's just energy, and they will utilize energy to really start making some type of, I guess, energetic presence on this lower dimensional third dimension. And it's very interesting because I think of the Stanley Hotel as you were speaking in terms of the crystals that are in the mountains in Colorado. And I feel like the Stanley Hotel is so active because of all those crystals and the high altitude and the mountains, and those types of environments can definitely bring a lot more spirit activity, even if it's just residual, like the ballroom. It seems like everybody seems to hear the music playing every night, almost like it's on, you know, loop, you know, record player loop. So it's definitely interesting how electricity plays a role when it comes to spirit manifestations, as well as creating an energy of sorts that something might be around. I know in Sedona, one of the vortexes is literally right over a electrical line. So it's really confusing to a lot of people to see if it's just the electricity or they're really a vortex energy in that area. So it's definitely something, as you mentioned, you need to take in consideration if you're going into any type of environment where electricity is around, because it might be really active due to it, but it also might just be what it is that you're feeling.
Right, right. I believe that we have a lot of natural, and I agree with you that, Denise, and it's just Denise and Maya, so this is Maya speaking. I apologize for not saying my name earlier. But, yes, I agree that intelligent spirits will zap the energy around, which is usually why when there's spiritual activity, other than some of the flatline residual, that usually doesn't take a lot of energy because they're not really interacting with us. They're just kind of repeating a pattern. But when we go into intelligent energies, whether they're positive or negative, they do take energy from whatever source may be available. And I totally agree with you. Cameras that fresh batteries were just put in, go dead, flashlights, which is often used in investigations as a way of communicating. And I've witnessed that, and I know many of us have seen that on shows. But I can, excuse me, I can tell you firsthand that I've experienced that where we have been communicating with an intelligent spirit, and we've asked them, you know, if you're here, all you have to do is press the button on the flashlight and turn it off. And we have all been present. There's been more than one or two people present where the flashlight, you know, was checked and rechecked and rechecked and rechecked. And there was no malfunction on the flashlight either before or after the investigation. But every time a question was posed or we asked them to show their presence, give us a sign by using the flashlight as a signal, they did so. And so that, to me, is pretty solid scientific proof, as well as the electronic voice phenomenon. And that is, again, using a tape recorder and interacting and asking questions. Who are you? Why are you here? Are you the one that, let's say, the family is seeing an apparition? Are you the apparition? Are you the one that's opening the cabinets? And most of the time, you will not hear anything when you ask the questions. It's when you review the tape and listen that you can often hear voices. And the same is true with digital, with cameras, motion detectors, cameras, and videos. A lot of times those you take a picture and you don't see anything. You know, when you check your camera for the picture, you might see it, but you don't see it when you're actually snapping the shot, but later it comes up. But I wanted to talk about, too, some of the portals, like you mentioned, in Sedona, Arizona. I live in Arkansas, and we're known for our natural crystal mines. We have some of the largest natural quartz crystals, and we also have some amethyst and some citrine, some other, but that itself, those gemstones and crystal holds quite a bit of energy. So that's an energetic field that often draws spiritual energy. What a lot of people don't know as well is that water, underground, many places have underground way beneath where you would even be able to maybe dig for a well. But water is a conduit for spiritual energy. The same is true, you know, in this society, we have lost some of our respect for example, American Indian traditions and even old cemeteries. So there's a lot of housing development, urban development, and expansion where they actually moved. Sometimes they were built over old cemeteries and graveyards that perhaps were family plots, and the family there's no longer any living ancestors. And that is something else that is, you know, in the ground or can create friction and can create, it to me, I see that as it's disturbing and it's disrespectful and it can often incite paranormal activity. Also, I do feel it's important, although sometimes it's very positive. It's our loved ones returning. And I agree with you, Denise, that there is a walkway, if you will, and spiritual energies or entities, if you will, they can go back and forth depending on, I think there's a lot of, you know, depending on, but there definitely is a path or a walkway. And so they can go back and forth. However, I follow what I believe is universal law and what my guides have taught me, and that's that we do own the physical world. So whenever anything manifests to a point where it's causing a disruption in our life, in our home, in our family, we are able, by using the right tools and strong intentions, I do believe that we can rid ourselves of that energy if we cannot live in harmony. Sometimes I've known people that say, oh, yeah, call her, we call her Mary because we always see her at the top of the steps, but she's never been threatening. But then we have that darker side, and that does occur. There is a darker side to spiritual energy. And the other thing is the poltergeist. The poltergeist is more of a mischievous, that's where if you watch some of these movies or there's a lot on YouTube where cabinets are all open and dishes are being flung, that falls under more of the poltergeist. And they tend to be more very interactive, and a lot of times you'll find that there is a teenager, if there isn't another issue going on, it often centers around a teenager, and the reason why is because teenagers have a lot of hormones, they're going through a lot of changes, and that just seems to stir things up. So a lot of times you'll find if there isn't anything in the ground or anything natural that's a portal, you may find that there's usually something. Another thing that I've come across quite often is that people begin to experience some paranormal activity. It usually starts out fairly mild, doors opening and closing, footsteps when no one's there. If you have animals, the dogs start to look into a certain or specific area of the home, and, you know, they might growl or they might be afraid to come out when they never had that fear before. And in talking with and interviewing these clients, I find that something has happened. They've either used a spirit board or one of their older kids. Someone has held a seance. And there's nothing wrong with, I consider myself a medium or channeler, and there's nothing wrong with connecting with your loved ones. But the intention and the way it's done, you really need to make sure that it's a trustworthy person, because if not, if things are not opened and closed correctly, I always use the analogy of opening a window. If we open a window with no screen because we want to let the fresh air in, or maybe we want butterflies to come in, or ladybugs because they're good luck, it's very likely those will enter. However, at the same time, a bee or a wasp or flies or mosquitoes could also enter. So anytime we deliberately provoke something to enter, we have to be prepared with the consequences. And my experience and my feeling on that is when we are deliberately doing something that involves calling up the spirits in a way of more curious or fascination or provocation, I do believe that the result or the outcome of that is going to be more on the negative side than on the positive side. So not that this is going to turn into a big scary show, but I wanted to bring that up, Denise, and see your feelings, because I do believe, and I have witnessed firsthand, that there is negative energy out there, and it can be very menacing, and it can feel very threatening, and it does exist. Just like the light shines, the darkness exists as well. So what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I absolutely agree. I remember one time when my brother wanted to bring a Ouija board into the house, and he didn't make it past the garage, you know? So I really do feel like some things are not toys, some things should not be messed with, especially if you do not have a knowledge of what you're about to get yourself into. And even with us as mediums and all mediums, it's very important for us to go into a very protective stance, really, you know, surround ourselves with white light, make sure our spirit guides are close, and really work from a place of all white light protection before we enter into just you know, calling over past loved ones to speak with people. And if you do go into anything without that knowledge of protection, that knowledge of the spirit world, you definitely can open yourself up to all sorts of entities and, you know, mischievous creatures running around in the fourth dimension. And it's not something you should play with. And I think even with the Ouija board, if somebody was doing a seance and they were a medium over years and years of experience and all of that, it's still something I feel as that actual board, and I know everything does hold energy, as we spoke of earlier with jewelry and furniture and things of any kind. I find that board in particular to be just a open door for probably something you don't want to deal with. Whether you're dealing with all the protection in the world, it just naturally holds, to me, a negative energy that I wouldn't use in any type of tool for opening up to the spirit world. That's just my personal opinion. And it shouldn't be in the toys or a toy section either. But I do feel you're absolutely right. You have to be very careful, because with everything on the third dimension, there is a duality. There's light and there's dark, and you have to make sure that you work with the light if you really want to tap into mediumship abilities, spirit world, things of that nature. And even if you go into locations that might be a little bit more negative, you need to come with a level of respect for yourself in terms of protection as well as for what you're dealing with. And I see these shows, I believe it's, I don't know if it's Ghost Adventures, I don't know if that's the name, but they can sometimes be very arrogant in their approach and very, you know, like calling them out. And to me, I just like, no, that's not good, because a lot of times, and they spoke of in one episode, I believe, where he felt like something followed him home. And there was just destruction in his life, and things were just, you know, falling apart in his relationship. And he was just really negative and felt like everything was just going wrong. And that's where you can really get spirit attachments due to that, if you do go into some type of negative environment without protection or do something in terms of like a seance and you don't really know what you're doing. You can definitely attract things that will attach to you and create havoc in your life. But with all things, like you mentioned before, we do have complete control on this plane to really heal ourselves, you know, remove things that are not doing us any good, and really heal, you know, things at the end of the day. So we all have personal responsibility when we deal with the spirit world in our lives in general.
Okay, right. I agree. And with that, we have another STARS expert that has some things that she'd like to share. So she's going to join us. I believe it's Sue Ann.
Sarah Ann.
Sarah Ann, I apologize. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't write that down.
Thanks. I wanted to talk about what you guys, especially the one chick that was talking about the Ouija board. I do agree it doesn't belong in the toy section, and I actually unfortunately had to see the negative impact from that. I had a friend of mine play with that in the cemetery, because he wanted to do his own ghost hunting thing. And this happened about 10 years ago. He started freaking out and going crazy. And I just looked at him, and I could see this black mass, like, attached to him. And I'm like, you need to go out that door the way you came in, because I don't want that attaching to me. I saw it, like the black mass from the movie Ghost. I don't know if anybody's seen the movie The Ghost
mm-hmm.
back in the day, but it was really creepy. But also, I also noticed. Have you guys ever thought that maybe some states could be haunted more than others? Because I'm from New York, and I'm from New York, but I live in Florida now, and I saw like a lot of stuff, a lot of activity in New York, a lot. It really scared me. It got to the point where I had to sleep with a TV on because I was scared so bad. And I come down to Florida, and I'm able to, you know, push the spirits out that followed me, and I'm able to sleep without the TV on. So do you guys agree definitely with the some states are more activity than the others?
Well, this is Maya, and I would say that I believe that there's potential that exists due to, you know, when you look back how the earth was and what things were like. So I believe that it's a combination. I don't know that I would put it quite more haunted, but I definitely understand what you're saying, and I agree. I think that there's more potential in different areas of our country, and I also feel that there's even other countries besides the U.S. that may even have a lot more potential for spiritual activity than the U.S. does. But yes, I believe that it's a spiritual, it's an energetic situation and influence, and so some parts definitely I feel have the potential for those experiences more. What about you, Denise?
Yeah, I absolutely agree, Barrett. I'm the chick who mentioned the Ouija board, by the way. Thanks. I absolutely agree. I've lived in 8 states, all across about 5 regions in the U.S., and through my journeys and travels, I have definitely felt a difference between the dense energy of a land. And the South, naturally, Civil War, you know, there was a lot of trauma and violence and all sorts of stuff. The South holds a lot of energy when it comes to spirits. And the East Coast, very much, you know, if we think about all the way back, the Pilgrims, there's a lot of history there. And, of course, there's a lot of death as well. So that's going to hold a lot of energy as well. When I moved to Arizona, everything felt a little less past lifey in terms of felt less dense. But it came with a different type of energy, as we spoke in the last radio session about, you know, UFOs and things of that nature. It holds a lot of that type of vibe. But as far as spirits and things of that nature, there's not that much when it comes to ghosts and things of that nature in Arizona. Maybe out in the western side in the east mountains. But for the most part, there's a lot of activity I've found on the East Coast and definitely in the South.
I agree. This is Maya, and I agree about the South. Now, I live in northwest Arkansas, so I actually live in the furthest north part where Missouri and Oklahoma meet. However, if you look at our state in relation to the Civil War, that's another thing. Any kind of war, anything like that is, again, it's a conduit, I believe, for the paranormal or for spiritual activity. And I actually grew up and attended high school in Des Plaines, Illinois, and there used to be this road that we would hang out there. It was called Cuba Road, and for anybody that's listening that would like to look it up, and by the way, if you'd like to call in, once again, that number is 347-838-9736. We'd love to hear from you. So as teenagers, we would go there and we would have all these experiences. Now, we were 16, 17 years old, maybe a few of us were 15, but most of us were driving age. And we went there quite a bit. And, of course, we had a lot of experiences. But being teenagers, it's hard to ascertain how real they were. They certainly felt real to us at the time. And I happened to find out of curiosity, I saw something advertised about the 10 most haunted highways or roads in America, and believe it or not, that road was like number 2. So that was really an eye-opener because it was sharing the experiences that I remember having as a teenager, and I was really excited about learning that and realizing that it couldn't have made that list if there wasn't some validation. I mean, enough people had experienced the same things. It was just a really creepy, but you know, when you're that age, you enjoy being creeped out a little bit. When you get older, not so much. It's not so much fun. And I agree on the spirit board. I don't feel that that's a toy, and I feel I know there's and keep in mind, listeners, that what you're hearing from us is our personal beliefs and experiences. That doesn't mean it's the right way or the only way. It's just our take and our belief system. There's certainly a lot of different beliefs, and there's one thing about spirituality or psychic phenomenon or paranormal. There's really no right or wrong. There's just different ways of seeing it and believing it. But I'm a firm believer that a spirit or Ouija board should never, ever be used. Even professionals, I really question if they are a professional, why they would allow that, because there's, if you're a true medium or channeler, there's a lot safer methods of connecting with positive energy. And what you mentioned about something following home, that's always when you, if you go on an investigation or you're assisting a client, for example, in their home with paranormal activity, that's always something that I feel we have to be very aware of and very cautious of, is that nothing attaches to us. So I'm sure we've all had some interesting experiences. And Denise, what did you want to add to that?
It's very interesting because I was just thinking as you were speaking about numbers. And when I watch some of those shows, I don't really watch them anymore because they got to a point where I was just feeling negative, you know, afterwards. I was just like, I need to go watch a cartoon or something. But I do notice a pattern when it comes to numbers. And as a numerologist, I find that certain locations, certain numbers do seem to bring the most activity. One, for example, is the number 7. Number 7 can bring a very lighted energy, but sometimes it can bring, you know, just spiritual energy in terms of ghosts and spirits that have passed on, all of it, you know. Not so much the negative, though. I find the 7 to be a little bit more on the positive. And the number 13, which is a karmic debt number, I've noticed that in one, I don't know if you guys know, help me out here, but what is that battleship that's really haunted? Is it the Queen Mary? It's parked out in San Francisco, around that area? Anyway, but
I believe it is the Queen Mary. I believe so.
Yeah, I remember there was one episode, and they were talking about there was this room, big old number 13 on it, that, you know, I believe somebody had their, like, arm chopped off or something of that nature. And if you even look at some of the prisons, rooms that were number 13 or just numbers that kind of, again, kind of go back to 7 too, a lot of activity. So 13 and 7 have come to find a lot of patterns when it comes to very active potentials, homes, rooms that seem to have a lot, even in hotels, for example. And I know some people don't, hotels don't have 13 number floors as well for superstitious reasons, but also could, you know, tie a little bit into the spirituality of it.
Okay. Well, we are getting close to the end of the show, so we can finish up some of the last of our thoughts. And so, Sarah, right? Are you still with us?
Oh, it's Sarah, sorry.
Okay, Sarah, was there anything else that you wanted to add? We're going to be wrapping up the show here in the next 15 minutes, so I just thought I would check with you and see if there was anything that you wanted to add or anything
else.
Yeah,
actually,
I wanted to
ask you a question, actually, because you brought up the poltergeist, and I was curious, and also Denise can put in her opinion on this as well, because she was chatting with me in the chat room. What's the difference between a demon and a poltergeist, and has anybody had any issues with that before, or can we talk about that?
This is Maya. We can talk about that. I consider myself a practicing, learning demonologist, and there's absolutely a difference. The difference that I recognize, and again, this is just simply based on what my guides have taught me, my personal experiences, so that doesn't mean I'm not trying to say that I'm right and anyone else's opinion is wrong. A poltergeist to me is a mischievous spirit that doesn't really have, that is more than likely a human spirit. So they have some type of human DNA. They've lived a human life before. Where a demon and dark entities that are threatening, that, you know, you have the incubus, you have a lot of menacing experiences, people getting scratched, people getting harmed, children being threatened. I see demons as being a non-human entity. And generally I find that they're a collection of energies that work together as a team. So it's not the same as a poltergeist to me, although a poltergeist can sometimes cause harm because they are so rowdy that they can be very disruptive to a family or to a person's life. Their intention is not really to cause harm, and they usually, again, in my experience, they usually don't try to harm us. It's more just to take our keys and hide them and, you know, just kind of be like a little gremlin, you might say, in a good way. You know, just like a little kid would do, you know, just very mischievous, where the demonic energies and entities, the dark entities, those are more of a collective energy, a collection of energies that band together that, to me, are non-human. Often if the shape is seen of them, if other than just a shadow outline, a lot of times they'll be very hideous looking. Some people will say they are reptilian looking, mm-hmm. or they look, you know, they're very frightening to see, and their intention is to destroy. So whether that's by splitting the family apart or causing harm, or literally they will invade our physical space. They will scratch. They will leave marks. They will bite. Many of us are familiar with that movie. I mean, it wasn't a true story, but I thought it was a great movie, Paranormal Activity. That was a low-budget movie that made millions. The first one, that even though the movie itself wasn't true, the way that they portrayed that demonic or dark energy, I would say that is very, very true to what the darker entities are. And so the moral of the story for me is, anyone that's listening, if you feel threatened or afraid or menaced or anything feels to the point where you're not comfortable, it's very important that you seek help. Either if you're religious, seek a religious figure. You can certainly seek an expert on star psychics. Or there's, in pretty much every town now, there's some type of paranormal investigative team. Can call on their nonprofit. They don't charge for their investigation. Just make sure you get one that wants to help you, not wants to create a circus. So with that, Denise, what's your take on that?
Yeah, it's very interesting. You've made a lot of excellent points, and the one that really hit the nail is about how demons very much are a collective of energy. And as I told Sarah, you know, they can be very much one and the same, but also very different. And when I say there can be very much one and the same, it would go back to, again, that sense of wanting to cause havoc. You know, poltergeists do kind of want to create a little bit of havoc, and demons want to create havoc as well. But what they differ is, as you were mentioning, is one comes from a little bit more of a, I guess, grounded place. One comes from a little bit more of a, I don't want to say celestial, but just kind of, if you were to think of energy in terms of just not really being very grounded, but just kind of like air, it's like that. And I'm trying to think of the best example to describe how they do show up. You mentioned the reptilians. When I did see the reptilian attachment over somebody who was very much in a dark, addictive place, they had that very demonic smirk on their face. And reptilians, we spoke of in the last show, they do come with a very negative energy that can attach to people and definitely does want to cause harm. It's your serial killers, things of that nature. They very much have a spirit attachment, most likely a reptilian, more so demonic, but it can be, again, very similar as well, depending on how you actually look and tune in. With demons, I have found that if you kind of think about Harry Potter, one of the, when you see all those black images just kind of rolling around in the sky, that's to me what a demon kind of represents in terms of how I would see it. It comes off very much almost very airy, but dark airy. And sometimes it can come off very much like globs, where they shape like tar, and they can just form themselves in all sorts of different directions or images. It's very, very negative, and it's not something you want to tune into. And I remember one time I really asked my guide, you know, show me the darkest of the dark, because I kind of wanted to, with any spiritual guide, you have to understand the dark to understand the light and vice versa. You can't just operate on one and be in denial of the other. So when she showed me this very thick type of world where you really almost feel like you're going to throw up, that's the demon world. That's the world where everything is very, very, very low. And it's not a world you want to play in. And satanic rituals, people who worship Satan, things of that nature, they're very much not operating on a very singular mindset most of the time. They do probably have nightmares and all sorts of stuff. A lot of people, we can go into it, but I probably won't go into it, but we can go into the whole Illuminati and, you know, the music business and people who do, quote-unquote, sell their soul to the devil. A lot of them have spoken about the nightmares they have, the demons they see, the images that pop up in their head, how they can't sleep for days on end. So it's really something you don't want to look into, but at the same time, you do choose to study it, make sure you go in very much understanding that there is a difference between, like you said, the poltergeist and, of course, the demon world. The demons are a lot more eerie in the sense of a collective of energy, as we spoke of.
Interesting. Well, I appreciate that, Denise. And so we're going to be wrapping things up here. So first, Denise, is there anything else that you would like to add or you would like to share with our listeners before we close the show out this evening?
Yes, let's all imagine white light and beautiful energy surrounding the show and ourselves so we don't end up on a, you know, negative note. But other than that, I think I'm good on my end.
Okay. And Sarah, what about you? Is there anything that you would like to add as we get ready to close up and say goodbye to our listeners?
I have to just agree with Denise. I didn't mean to, you know, put negative in the atmosphere there. I just was curious, and sometimes curiosity gets the best of me. But as far as the Ouija board, I totally agree with her. It's not something to be played with. If you don't know what you're doing, definitely stay away from it. And all the stuff that Maya was saying about how to deal with it, I really agree with what you're saying. So, and that's it.
Okay, so that's it?
Yep, that's all. I mean, I really appreciate the time to speak with you ladies. Thank you for listening to what I had to say. And I appreciate your input.
Sure.
I want to interject something. There's a lot of talk going on in the chat room right now. Star Shango is agreeing, saying, yes, exactly. And they're talking about the demons and fallen angels and all of that. And before we close out, Maya, I want to thank a few people. We have, of course, Star Psychic Priestess Candy, who does all the promoting for Stars and the radio show. And we have, of course, Stars Cosmic Denise is in there. Stars Shango is in there. We had Farah Ann in there. But I'm curious. I get to go back and forth and watch, and this was a really great topic. I agree. I have to interject also. I agree about the Ouija board. I had one many, many years ago, but it stayed in its box. Somebody gave it to me, but I never opened it, and I didn't know anything about it at all. And I'm listening, and I'm thinking, well, that's really a good thing that you didn't, Natalie, because who knows what doors I would have opened. But for my own personal, I've never encountered, and pardon my bird, that's Leo, the resident bird that we have here. I have never encountered anything dark ever. And I don't know, Maya, am I very fortunate? I mean, do most people encounter a lot of darkness, or is it how much of the light you are? How does that work?
The bird screeched. Okay, so you had a Ouija board, and so you're asking.
Yeah, but I never opened it. It stayed in its box, so I'm kind of glad I didn't.
Right, so you were glad.
Yeah.
And you haven't had any. Well,
no.
I think, yeah, some people are very lucky, and they're just maybe protected a little bit more than others. And so that's how I would see you, is that you just have been very fortunate and very blessed to be protected, to have so much light around you that you haven't experienced anything negative or anything that's a questionable energy that's been, you know, your experiences have all been beautiful and positive. You're definitely
right.
fortunate, because I don't think that's the norm. No, I think the norm is if we have experiences, we have some of both. That's my opinion, and my opinion only. So, yeah, you're
right.
You're lucky.
And you know about the crystal that appeared and woke me up during the night. That was on the back wall, which was a golden yellow, about 6.5-7 feet high, and that was at an important point in my life. And I think that was just a sign for me. But I guess I've been very lucky. I've not. Now my cat sees things. During the night when it's dark, all of a sudden he'll, like, almost arch his back, and he looks kind of towards the kitchen, like, and I'll say, oh, Muzzy, what are you seeing? You must be seeing something out there. You know, that's his name, Muzzy. And I think they can sense things like that more so than humans, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
Animals are very psychic. Very, very
yeah,
psychic.
He's, he does that a lot. And I'm thinking, and I look, and I'm thinking, gee, I wish I could see something, but I never do, of course. So I guess I'm quite blessed that I don't have to worry about that kind of stuff, or else I'd be calling Stars Maya or somebody to help me get out of this, right? And I'm sorry about the bird. He's just acting up because he hears me talking. Somebody has just called in. So why don't you guys wrap it up, and let me go see. This might be Star Shango. I bet you any money it is. So go ahead.
Well, I think we pretty much
out.
Wrap things up here. I don't really have much to add. I've pretty much said, you know, I liked what was said about, you know, ending everything in the light. And I just, the only thing, this is Maya, that I would reiterate to everyone, is that if you are experiencing something that does not feel comfortable, you know, even if you're sharing your space or your home with something that isn't threatening, but you is uninvited and you just don't want to share your space, it's just an unwanted visitor, you have every right to claim your home, say, this is my home, and you need to seek your good elsewhere, is the way that I put it. And, you know, please move on. And, you know, again, ask that they seek their good elsewhere. This is my home. This is my area, this is my sanctuary, and you're not welcome here regardless of your intentions. So we all have the right to ask uninvited guests to leave. And if they're not bothering you and it's not a big deal, then there's no reason to take action. Usually it's not going to change. If it's been going on for a long time and it's never caused any issues, and if it has, and things begin to escalate before things get too out of control, then it's time to seek professional help. So I would really urge everyone to do that. In today's society, right now, it's a very accepted theory. It's a very common theory. Again, we can see that by all the reality shows that are hitting the top spots. So the stigma that was attached to talking about the paranormal 20 years ago has really been eliminated. So no one's going to think you're crazy. They're going to think that you're experiencing something, and they will help you get to the bottom of it. And there's so many different whys and wherefores. I mean, there's just a lot of different things that can cause this, and there's just as many ways to alleviate, to banish, to send away. So that would be the last thing I would say, is that I wish you all love and light and positive energy, and may your homes be blessed and filled with peace and joy for all those that abide within and all those that enter as guests. So if anyone
else
wants to add.
No, I just wanted to add that. Go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure everybody understands that there are some wonderful protective measures that you can wear every day. I always wear my cross. I'm wearing it right now because I knew we were going to do this show. I wear it when I speak to clients. It's just something that helps me feel protected, as well as acts as a protective symbol. You can always put intentions into anything, any piece of jewelry, but the cross to me is very important for protection. And, you know, call on your angels if you need assistance in smudging your environment without actually doing it with incense or sage. There are many ways you can create a positive environment around you. If you don't go looking for something, you're not going to see it. if you do, if you're in the field, then you probably will have those experiences so you can help other people. But for the most part, if you want to keep a very blessed, centered, harmonious environment around you, smudge, crosses, angel figurines, all sorts of positivity can really help you out in that.
Well, I guess that's all very important information. And with that, I guess we will close the show for tonight. I don't know what we're going to be talking on next week. Maya, do you have any ideas?
I'm sure I'll come up with something.
I'm sure you will, too. And thank you, ladies, for joining us tonight on the air. Stars Farrah Ann, Stars Cosmic Denise, Stars Maya, of course, and everybody that's been in the room. And please go to starswithazpsychics.com for all your needs. I mean, and there's such a wide variety that I have there, so much talent. I mean, just look at the profiles and you can see such a big variety, and that's what makes the site so nice. And it is a family atmosphere, community-oriented, and I know you'll be happy if you go there. So with that, I'm going to say much love to all of you, and I'll see everybody next week, okay?
Okay.
All right.
See you next week.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, love you. Bye-bye.